It's time to get serious. We're now back every week as the FPL countdown continues. We reveal our latest drafts. Should we worry about Haaland? We explore enablers. And Jules, the Olympian? Hello, welcome back. 2 weeks after we first returned, we are back for another pre-season check-in. Everyone's forgotten about the Euros. Olympic fever has hit. Somehow even Jules is working on that. And pre-season is well underway. Kelly Summers back with you alongside Sam Bonfield. Sam, some of us doing some proper work back at home.
Yeah, some of us are really super busy at the moment while others are swanning around France watching the Olympics.
Do you know what? I've just told a massive lie. I'm not busy at all. I'm having some time off at the moment. But when I say off, I've got my little girl on my own. So that is not time off. Julian Laron, thank you for joining us all the way from your favourite place in the world.
Oh, hello, Kelly. Hello, Sam. Hello, everyone. Yeah, it's from sunny Paris, really, where the Olympics are just amazing.
Can we just clarify why you're getting to be an Olympics pundit?
I used to be an Olympian, obviously, in many sports, as you know.
What was your discipline? Come on.
So 1984, I did... listen, Olympic Games in Paris, you need a Parisian there to, you know, give a bit of the accent and a bit of the flair, the handsomeness, you know, all of that. So I'm just providing all of that.
Handsomeness, I've just heard you on radio, so I'm not sure that quite
in the voice, I mean the handsomeness.
Oh, of course. Everyone loves hearing your voice, don't they? Yeah, we hear a lot of it throughout the season. The good news, Sam, am I correct in saying now we're going to be back? This is us kind of back every week now, isn't it?
Yeah, this is
we
it
had a
now.
2 week break. Yeah, okay. So if you do want to hear that handsome voice of Julian Laron and myself and Sam, every single week we'll be back in your podcast feed. Very, very excited. So much going on. As I said, pre-season is in full swing. FPL Challenge has also had a reboot ahead of the campaign. And Sam, it's quite exciting. I'm actually looking forward to getting properly stuck in with Challenge this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited about Challenge this year. I think last year I really liked it, but there were a few things that frustrated me a little bit, maybe is the right way of putting it, like having to pick benches when I knew I wouldn't need them because I could transfer players out that weren't starting before they played, and having a vice captain who never ever came on as a captain because I could just change out my captain if I needed to. So the changes that they've made, losing the vice captain, not having the bench, the opening four rounds of challenges, I think are brilliant. The fact that it's five a side makes it really exciting. Loving the unlimited one to start us off because it means you can literally have whoever you want.
Do you know what? Very quickly, just because I think a lot of people maybe didn't get as stuck into challenge last season because it started not the normal starting point, just run through the premise of challenge again if people are listening and thinking I'm actually ready to doubly get stuck in with challenge as well as the traditional game.
Yeah, so it fits along the normal game really nicely because it uses the same players, the same budget price points as the main game does. But it acts as an almost like having a free hit chip every week. So at the beginning of each game week, you pick your players again. So for the opening 4 weeks, you'll just pick five players, but it has slightly different setups to it. So for example, in game week two, it's all out attack, which as you can imagine from my little talk about all out attack last time, I'm really excited about because I love that chip. And that means that you just pick one goalkeeper and four forwards in challenge rather than having defenders and midfielders. And it's the same in game week four when it's a defensive week and you've got to pick two goalkeepers and three defenders. So it's really exciting because it means that you can pick players, you don't have to think about strategy, you can just pick the players that are the best ones for that week and not worry about if you want them the week after. And I also love the fact that in challenge there's mini leagues now in a way that there wasn't before.
So we can have one.
We can have one and it will culminatively tell us what's happening over the weeks rather than in challenge last year when it first set up, you could only see what was happening in that
That was
one
what
week.
Frustrated me actually a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas now we can have a mini league and we'll be able to track as we go through and, you know, so you'll be able to set up mini leagues with your friends and your family, but not just see what happens in that 1 week, but see what happens over a period of weeks or over the course of the whole season, which is brilliant. And you get to earn badges, which as you can imagine, this for me is like you can get an FPL Legends badge. I really want that really badly.
What do you need to get the badges? What, when you get a certain amount of points?
Yeah, depending upon how well Jules is even interested now. The competitive side's come out. But yeah, depending upon how well you do each week and where you finish, you get badges for like finishing in the top 10k in a game week or what have you, and then you can sit them on your profile, so when you log into challenge you'll see them and they get stars above them like you do on international football when you win the World Cup. So yeah, I'm very excited
about
that.
Do England have a star?
Do you know what I was going to say,
yes.
Sam? I know what's going to happen here. Why did you mention that World Cup? How did France get on in the Euros, Jules? Right, okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Because I know what we're going to end up having an England manager debate if I'm not too careful. And this is not the time or place. So really excited about FPL Challenge. Sam, as if you don't have and do enough for this pod, your homework for this week, I think, is to, or before the start of the season, is to start us a league, because then myself and Jules will be held accountable and we will do it. Whereas I think, Jules, you and I are probably both guilty last season of dipping in and out a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, outrageous. Yeah. So let's be held accountable. And now that Jules has heard he can get stars and legend badges, I think he's very much in.
Definitely.
I'm in, to be fair. Anyway, that's a bonus, talking about FPL Challenge. If you are listening to this podcast, it is likely because you are like us, knee-deep in drafts, realising that the season is going to start. It's almost August. By the time you listen to this, it probably will be August, meaning the season is just over 2 weeks away. Pre-season, as I said before, it's a bit of a roller coaster pre-season, isn't it, Jules? Because you can get excited about a player and then 2 days later they can play, they can get injured, they can, everything feels like it changes a lot. And if you're not a football obsessive like yourself, you can kind of miss what's going on a little bit, can't you?
Yeah, that's right. And also, Kels, which is makes it a little bit difficult, not difficult, but to judge those friendly matches, we still don't have the players who went to the Euros, or the ones at least who went far in the Euros and far in Copa America. So there's still none of the England players, for example, playing with their teams. There's no Darwin Núñez or Luis Diaz, for example, or the South American that might play for your Premier League team, or the ones that you're thinking, okay, I want to know if, I don't know, Arne Slot, again, to stay with Liverpool, play so-and-so or not, because so far, you know, we haven't seen them. They're still on holiday. So it's a little bit difficult, but we've seen Chelsea being very bad. Let's put it out there to start with. Really bad under the new manager, Enzo Maresca.
Don't hold back.
No, I mean, why? It's the start of the season. Which means that if you wanted a Chelsea player, again, there's no Cole Palmer, for example, but if you were tempted by one of them and you've watched them in pre-season, maybe that can already change a little bit your opinion. We saw a good Arsenal against Manchester United, where we also saw Leny Yoro getting injured and Rasmus Højlund getting injured, which is not good, especially if, like me, you were quite keen on Yoro being in your team because he's quite cheap. So it's been quite interesting, but it's true that we can't really yet, I think, judge too much because a lot of the key players are not there yet.
In the interest of balance when it comes to Chelsea there, it is only pre-season, Jules. New
exactly.
Manager.
No, that's true. I'm just saying.
But Jules hasn't been impressed, as you can probably tell, but that's his personal opinion. So there's a few thoughts on pre-season, but the big thing that everyone wants to know, what are we just over 5 minutes into this podcast now? Everyone wants to know how the drafts are looking. Sam, how many versions are you on?
I don't know
Lengthy
if I should.
Pause.
How many should I admit to at this point? I think this is about 21 now. I think that's where I am. It's been ridiculous. I'm obsessed.
21?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Wow. Jules, and the reason Jules is sounding shocked is because...
He's on one.
I was going to say, maybe there's a few people listening to this thinking it's still a bit too early for FPL. Maybe they're not going to open their app just yet, because actually, the man who's on this podcast only opened his app yesterday, didn't he? And he was absolutely rumbled. I really want to rumble him to the public, to the thousands of people who listen to this. Because in our WhatsApp group, our WhatsApp group is either used for Jules going, guys, do we have a podcast tomorrow? Guys, what time is the podcast? Guys, I've lost my schedule, even though it's on 37 emails. And yesterday it was, guys, is it normal that my app isn't working? And Sam straight away was like, well, that shows you haven't done the team yet.
When we did the show 2 weeks ago, because the show hadn't launched yet, we went on this website.
We were on a different site. Yeah, but it has been 2 weeks since.
No, I know. But then I stayed on that. And then, you know, I was going to prepare for the show. So I went on the app and the app was not working.
You can tell Jules wasn't bothered about his team ID, can't you?
Even in my head already, I had my 15, you know, even without the app functioning.
All right. Well, I know that from listening and looking at the feedback we got from the last podcast, people are just obsessed with hearing who we've got in our drafts. So should we go through our drafts? Just let people know where we're at. Jules, I feel like yours is the freshest, seeing as it was done yesterday. So do you want to go first?
Absolutely. So my two goalkeepers, and I think we mentioned that in the last show 2 weeks ago, Flecken and Areola, I think at their price, for their value and what they bring, we saw Areola being obviously very good and very efficient in terms of saves and save points, etc. last season. I expect Flecken and Brentford to be much better defensively than they were last season. Yeah. So for me, I know I don't have one of the prime goalkeepers like Alisson or Ederson, although Ederson, we're not really sure about his future. So that makes sense. I think the defense was really interesting this season because we saw Ben White's price going up. So I think there's a lot of thinking to put in your defenders, which was maybe not so much the case before. So I went with, obviously, William Saliba, the king of kings. Then I've got two slightly different versions. One with Konsa, one with Madsen, one with Vargiol, and one with Pedro Porro. So Vargiol or Porro.
You've got multiple.
So hang on, last time we were here, you said Konsa. I couldn't have two and I had to make a decision.
I know, but like, no, but so, okay. Davis, who's Sam's boyfriend, is there, obviously. 18 assists and 3 goals last season in the championship for the people who, not like me, don't watch the championship.
Some of us are forced to.
Yeah, and I like very much Barco, the young Argentine left back from Brighton, who played in the 2 friendly matches that they had in Japan, where Brighton did really well. He's a very attacking left back, very smart kid. And because he's too penal and he's still injured, he should start the season. And I think he is looking very good. So those three are locked in. Barco, Saliba, Davis. And then I have to choose between Gvardiol or Porro and Konsa or Madsen.
So I've had a bit of a change of strategy with my goalkeepers, I think, simply because I'm struggling to find a way to own Saliba and Vardiol in the same team, but it's quite easy to have Raya in my team. So I'm going to go for Raya, I think, between the sticks as a set and forget goalkeeper, and then just put a 4.0 in there at the minute. It's Turner, but Turner's ownership's quite high, and I worry that he will drop in price when you have a goalkeeper that's not going to potentially play.
That's a really good thing to actually consider.
Yeah,
I've not thought about that.
Whereas there are loads of other 4.0s who are owned by nobody, so I probably will just move to one of them, unless it looks like Turner's going to get some game time, and then I'll stick with him. But in reality, it's a set and forget goalkeeper with Raya, so I probably just will not run any risk of a price decrease on my 4.0 goalkeeper. And then at the back, I've got Vardiol then, because I've got the Arsenal defence covered by the goalkeeper, which I hate saying, but that's the only way I can manage to have a Man City and an Arsenal defender in. I've also got Barco. I think he makes a lot of sense, and obviously Davis. And then my other two are currently Konsa and Gehi.
Okay. I've got rid of my Mark Gahey, which is a bit of a surprise for anyone that knows me, because I'm a big Mark Gahey fan. My defence is currently, I've still got the same two goalkeepers, Areola and Flecken. I've kept Saliba, but Sam, I can't get in a City and an Arsenal defensive cover. So at the moment, that's where I'm at with Saliba, but there's no Gvardiol, no City cover, which I think has to change, really. Konsa, I had Branthwaite before. I've just downgraded to Mikalenko. And then I've currently got Cody and Taylor as my other two, but I've got a million in the bank with my team. So that one or two of those will upgrade. So yeah, my defence is probably, well, in fact, my whole team is not very set, but that's where I'm currently at the moment. Defence is really tricky.
It's tough.
Really, really tricky. I agree with Jules on that, because there's so much money we want to put into the attack with all those premiums. So yeah, my defence is pretty poor at the moment, going to be honest.
It's just about Konsa as well, because the ownership is so high, because at 4.5, I think, fair enough, he's a guaranteed starter. And that's why I want Madsen more than Konsa, because I think if Madsen, especially going forward, can provide a lot of assist and those extra points that Konsa won't provide as a centre-back. Okay, he might score on set pieces, but Madsen is 0.5 million more, obviously, than Konsa, but the ownership is lower. And I think I like the fact that it's slightly differential to the Konsa owners, really.
It's just really hard to find that 0.5 million, isn't it? Because so I've got a million in my bank. If I then put 0.5 in going with him over Konsa, I can then upgrade. Obviously, I've got to upgrade another defender, but then I'm upgrading two defenders. I don't know if I'm getting that much more from them, but yeah, I take your point completely, Jules. If you do have the extra 0.5 million, I think you could be worth it. Go on then, Sam, you go first with your midfield.
So not a lot has changed in midfield. I've still got Salah in there at the moment, with Brennan Johnson and then Kunku in the 6.5 bracket. Two of them still got Eze. And then at the moment, I've got Harry Winks in the fifth midfielder spot.
Okay, Jules?
So I'm for Saka as my premium. The star boy, really, I can't not have Saka. Then I think what I find really, really interesting, and I think a lot of people would be like that, is if you look at the 6.5 million midfielders, you've got great choice, but difficult choice to make. So Szoboszlai, Nkunku, Kudus, Garnacho, Bernardo Silva are all 6.5. And I can't, because I will have Haaland, I can't afford really anybody more. I can't put Salah in. I can't put Palmer in. I don't want Palmer in anyway. So of those that I've just mentioned, I just need to pick three out of those five. I've got Oscar Bob, who was very impressive so far in the preseason with Man City. It's also because there's no Doku, there's no Bernardo Silva. So I'm not sure Bob is going to play a lot in the season, but he looked really, really amazing. So I'm happy to have him there at 5 million. So, and Nkunku, I like, despite Chelsea's... despite Chelsea's struggle, but you would expect Chelsea to get better. They will get better. It's just they have a new manager and...
Also, Jules, as we saw last season, even when they are not performing well, Cole Palmer managed to provide those numbers. So the good players are still going to shine in that team, aren't they?
You're right.
Well, I've got Nkunku as well. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
No, but And I think he's fine. And again, the good thing, if Nkunku doesn't perform or he's not starting, I don't know, for whatever reason, then it's quite easy to replace by another 6.5 million midfielder before Nkunku drops price or something like that. So I kept Kudus and I had Garnacho before. Remember when I said my dilemma between Pedro Porro, Gvardiol, Madsen, Konsa, etc. is because if I go with the two cheapest ones, so no Gvardiol and Porro and no Madsen but Konsa, I can have a million and I can upgrade to Gordon, which
this
I really,
is what
really
I was
like.
Talking about I before, know. Those 0.5s. Like, is it worth... Yeah, Sam, do you agree with me? Whereas I would go for a Konsa over a Madsen just to have that better attacker, or is that just me and you loving attack?
No, I would absolutely do that. I think the value this year is in the defence in terms of the enabler slots. Like there's a lot of good 4.5 and 4.0 defensive options. And that means that you can invest more heavily in attack. But the other thing we should remember when creating a team is that on paper, you want to create a great 15 because at some point you'll have a bench boost. But in reality, three of these players are going to get benched every week anyway. So having the cheaper options on your bench, as long as they're going to play, makes a lot of sense. So you have to think carefully about the distribution of your budget and potentially leaving some in the bank as well, so that when you get into game week one, those 0.1 changes that happen after game week one, and there will be loads of them because people go crazy moving things around after one game week, you want to still have the flexibility to make a change. So having 0.5 million in the bank is always a good strategy too.
Yeah, or a million. I can't believe I've quite got a million. Well, actually, when you look at my team, you probably can believe I've got a million in the house. My midfield as it stands is Gordon. I just can't get rid of him. I just think that he's going to have such a point to prove after the Euros. I think he was unlucky not to get more minutes in that England team. I think he was so good last season. Eze, just because I think Palace are going to be really good under Oliver Glasner, having had a few months under him. And Nkunku, just because I can't afford Cole Palmer. And I think a lot of people are going to lean that way. And yeah, I like kind of what I've seen from him. And then I've still got Bukayo Saka, mainly probably because I knew I'd come on this podcast and Jules would make me feel terrible if I didn't. No, also because of the consistency. But he's kind of a holding... I'm not dead set on having him at the moment. But yeah, I think you're going to get value from him, aren't you? So yeah, that's where I'm... Oh, and then I've got Harry Winks as well on my bench as it stands. So that's my midfield.
I mean, if people think Saka is at 10 million is expensive, which... He is, really. There's no doubt. And the same could be said about Salah in a way. But Odegaard at 8.5 million. So you save yourself 1.5 million. And okay, Odegaard's last season was not as good for us in the game as the Odegaard from the previous season. That's fair enough. But he can also have a season where he scores 15 and set up 10 goals, which would be amazing, especially at his price value at the start of the season. So if you can't make it work with Saka, Odegaard is still a very good option if you want an Arsenal attacking midfielder there and you get an extra 1.5 million to spend, or, as we've been saying, to keep a little bit of it in the bank.
I've got another suggestion for you. I'm going to go first with my forwards because this is what might also change my Saka decision. I've currently got Havertz in.
Oh, I want Havertz.
Mm. With Haaland and Isak as my forwards. I originally had Havertz thinking, oh, now I don't need to have Saka, but then I could still afford Saka, so I've just kept Saka in there. Could Jules, Havertz be another way of covering off that Arsenal attack,
or do you
still need a midfielder, do you think?
No. I think that's also a very good suggestion. And Arteta kind of hinted the other day again that Havertz would be the starting number nine in this team, despite
that
Gabriel Jesus
I saw
back.
Those quotes and I was like, hold on. And that's actually, because I was also between Havertz. We spoke about Ollie Watkins before. We know that Sam loves him. I also love him after what he did at the Euros as well. I've been blindsided. Like the Euros have completely, I can't think of the word I'm looking for here, like clouded every decision. I'm so like obsessed with the players that did well or didn't get enough minutes. But Ollie Watkins does also have the pedigree from last season. So it's between Havertz and Watkins, but I'm leaning towards Havertz at the moment because it could enable me to free up that midfield Saka spot.
Yeah, it is cheaper too. So if at least, because the question is always, for some of those players, it needs to start, right? Because if your first squad of the season players are on the bench, this is not good. And it looks like Havertz, who had a bit of holidays, nice coming back, got married, by the way, congratulations to him and his girlfriend. Or his wife
now. You always know everything about all of the players' lives. It's so weird.
Listen, it's very important for all the listeners, all the people who watch on YouTube.
To get the full picture. Know.
Exactly. And happy wife, happy life. Now, Mrs. Havertz, super happy. Kai is going to be super happy too.
Should we just check in with Mrs. Laurent, see how happy she is at the moment?
Of course. Probably,
she's delighted because I think she's quite far away from you at the moment, isn't she?
Very true. She's certainly not in Paris for the Olympics. But so Havertz, I think, is a really good shout. And because at 8 million, I think that's his price, is cheaper than Watkins, than Haaland, than many others too. So,
go on, Sam, who are your forwards?
God, Havertz is the one that's not in this team that I really want, and I've really struggled to get him. At the moment, it's Haaland, Isak, and then Muniz from Fulham because their fixtures in the opening weeks are really good.
I don't think that's a bad front three.
Say that again, because I was not listening.
Haaland, Isak, and Muniz from Fulham.
Yes, okay.
Go on, Sam, give us some justification. You look really sad about your forwards.
Yeah,
it's making
you look
me
disappointed.
Sad.
Don't be upset.
We like those. We just told you it's good.
Yeah.
No, I like them. I just really wanted Havertz, and I can't quite work out how to do it. Well, I can. I have to take Salah out.
I was going to say, that's the big difference, isn't it, between like yours and my team, for example.
Yeah. And the thing is that at the moment, I want to have a Liverpool player. They're second on the fixture ticker. The fixtures are really nice. And as Jules was saying at the beginning, like all of their players pretty much are still not back because of their international duties. So the one player that is there and has been there for the whole of pre-season is Salah. And so investing in Liverpool and it not being Salah is a bit of a minefield right now. Like, I don't really know who the other midfielder choice would be yet. Szoboszlai is kind of the one that I've been like, well, maybe he's the right option. And obviously it significantly changes the way my team would be structured at that point. But again, it's quite hard because he's been really important because Liverpool have been playing with a double number 10. Whereas when Darwin and Jota and Diaz and all of these guys are back, there will be some shuffling around and we'll obviously have a proper number 9 in that Liverpool team. And then we'll see whether he's playing Szoboszlai or Harvey Elliott and how that system is working under the new manager. Jota's the one that's going to probably be back relatively soon because obviously went out of his competition earlier than the others. So he'll be the one that I'm watching most to see how he plays. But Slot, I don't really fancy the wide players under him. So again, it's going to be just keeping my eyes on Liverpool over the next couple of weeks into the first game week of the season and going from there. I think it's a decision. The decision on Salah is key in terms of what happens with that forward line, because if I can afford to have a Havertz or a Watkins, then I will. Isak and Haaland are locked, though. I'm going to have those two regardless of what happens in that third slot. But Muniz, he was good last season and Fulham's fixtures are really, really nice. So it doesn't feel like a bad pick given that it allows me to have a draft that has Isak and Haaland and Salah and all of these other players that I want.
You say Haaland's locked. A quote from Pep Guardiola after the pre-season friendly. Mm. He had some niggles. He didn't feel good. And that's why he didn't play the second half. Throwing things into... How nervous are you, Jules? I'm aware that we're 2 and a bit weeks from the start of the season, but that's hard to monitor, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a bit of time. And again, we will know a bit more, for example, before next week's show. And also before the season starts, there's obviously the Community Shield and you will have a better idea there. I guess if there's a time where you cannot feel great, it's now. If you're Haaland, if you're City, if you're Guardiola, all of that. So I wouldn't be too worried right now. If there was the same course and the season would start on Friday or Saturday, then it'd be different. But right now, there's plenty of time. They're on pre-season. They can have all everything they want. So I wouldn't be too worried. It starts to be worrying if that continues until closer to the start of the season. And also, let's not forget that he was out for almost 3 months last season, which is something that was new because his first season at City was injury-free. But before that, at Dortmund, he had some little niggles quite regularly, muscular injuries and things like that, hamstring. So you don't want that to come back for Haaland and not really being really sure if he can have no issues or stuff like that during the season.
Okay, so let's look at our team structure. And we're not too worried about Haaland at the moment. But we mentioned on the last podcast that getting your structure right is really important, especially at the start of the campaign, because it's much easier to replace players of a similar price point rather than having to kind of get money from your midfield into your defence and so on. So premium-wise, I think myself and Jules are in a very similar place. Weirdly, our teams are quite similar. Maybe this is me copying him now.
Mine are Haaland and Isak, okay, that's fine. I think a lot of people are going to have Haaland and Isak. My third one is Darwin, obviously.
Oh,
Darwin
time. Are you kidding me?
No, listen. Because, and Sam made that good point. Yeah, because it's a very important point. Slot and Klopp are very similar. And I think we said that in the last show 2 weeks ago. But
can you put that pen down? It's scaring me.
They're also quite different. You know, I talk with my hands a lot. Yeah. Because... And Sam was right, she said it earlier, about the wide players not being as important for Slot than they were for Klopp.
Yeah.
And I think the emphasis very much on the Slot is that number nine. We saw that Feyenoord with Santi Jimenez, and I think we will see the same with Darwin Núñez. And maybe using Darwin a bit more like Bielsa does with Uruguay, and we saw how well that has been working lately for him and for them, more than maybe what Klopp or how Klopp was using Darwin. And by the way, Darwin... rarely played 90 minutes last season, for example, where you would expect Slot to actually keep him on the pitch for all the 90 minutes. So Darwin could be really interesting. But again, he's still on holiday, so we haven't seen yet. So you can put Darwin now and still change into somebody else. The good thing about the forwards is you've got a lot of them at 7.5 million. So Darwin is one, Mateta, Nico Williams, Tony, Solanke as well, who could have a season as good as the one that just finished. So that's good. I had one in mind is Mark Guyu. Okay, we talked a lot about Chelsea already, but he's only 5 million. And if you think that it could be on your bench and stay there and you be able to spend a lot of the money that you would have in a 7.5 million forward instead, 2.5 million that you save, then Guyu might not be a too bad idea, certainly at the beginning to start and create your squad.
I feel bad now that I didn't ask you, because that was actually quite interesting, particularly the point about Liverpool. I am slightly concerned. So I'm the only one out of the three of us that doesn't have any Liverpool attack, which is, but then I've got double Arsenal attack. So I'm kind of like, there's going to be movement. Hmm. Yeah. There's sacrifices all over the place, isn't there? But I'm seeing a lot of drafts without any Arsenal attack.
It's not a pleasant place to be.
No, but equally, it's not particularly pleasant being without Liverpool as well. But I think maybe it's the unknown, I think, with Liverpool too.
Yeah.
But okay. Right, I wish we could put like a little sound effect or something in here, like rewinding back to what I started saying before. Jules, is there anything else that I didn't ask you in that section that you would like to say?
No, it's okay. I think your front three is great. Sam's front three is great. Do you want me to repeat them? No, it's fine.
No, we're all good. We know. I think the rest of the listeners will have been listening, so we'll know mine and Sam's front three. So as I was saying about team structure, really, really important. Our premium strategy, we said last week that we put them in, well, I said 2 weeks ago, we put them in first and kind of build around them. So Jules, you've gone for just Haaland. Do we count Guardiola as a...
Yeah.
Guardiola and Saliba. So you kind of got those three premiums. Sam, you've got three as well. You've got Guardiola... This is testing my memory now. I was listening, I promise. Guardiola, Haaland, Salah. And Saliba. Oh, no, you couldn't afford Saliba.
Yeah, maybe right? Raya is sort of in that category in terms of like goalkeeper spends, because he's 5.5. So probably in terms of goalkeepers, he would count as one of the premium goalies.
Okay, so we're kind of, that's our structure at the moment. But yeah, for same as for me, really, I've got Saliba, but could become Guardiola. And then I've got Haaland, and I would like Salah now. The more this podcast goes on, the more... Anyway. Not going to start doing live changes on this thing. Well, should we talk about a little bit? Go on, Jules. You got
I was just going to say, Haaland's ownership right now, as we record, is 36%, which is since he moved to City, is
low,
unprecedented. It's so low. There's more people without him now than with him. And okay, last season it was too much, because Sam said it 2 weeks ago, he was owned by 75% when we started the season, which...
92 at the start of the season, 70
on
the
end. 92, sorry. Which is wrong in a way, because the game should not be about one guy. Which
That's
is
why
right
it's so much better this season.
It's so much better. But I never thought that he would be only owned by 36% of the managers at this stage of the summer.
Do you think that it's still... It's funny, isn't it? Because now all three of us have Haaland. Do you reckon that actually by the start of the season, all three of us will still have Haaland? Do you think, Sam, I feel like last week you were less set on Haaland than you are now.
Yeah, I mean, I wobble about things all the time. And at one point this week, I was like, oh, I think I'll do a draft and see how many premiums I can put in and then how terrible that makes the rest of the team look. So But it was never really like a serious team. It was just a how many is it physically possible to have? And you can do a team that has Raya and Trent and Salah and Palmer and Isak and Haaland, but then everyone else is 4.0, 4.4, the odd 5.5 midfielder in there. So it massively skews everything else. The thing is with Haaland is that going into game week one, like Pep's already said, the guys that went long in the Euros will not be available for the Community Shield. And they'll be eased back in the game weeks. Now, what does that actually mean? It's very hard to know with Pep because he says one thing and it's not clear whether that means that they might come on and just play a little bit of the game or whether they might start in game week one because they've not played in the Community Shield. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen that before from him. And I think if I knew for sure that Foden was going to start in game week one and then start for the next seven game weeks afterwards, then I'd be more tempted to try going without Haaland because I know I had a certain City attacker in there. But the issue is a bit like with Salah at the moment, we just don't have that security. Mm. So the next few weeks are going to be quite key, I think. For me right now, I can't see me going without Haaland because of Pep's comments about Foden. It's made me more likely to go with him, unless, of course, these niggles turn out to be something serious. And then, well, blimey, I've got loads of budget to spend elsewhere. But right now, I just can't see me going without him. And Foden's ownership is really high. So what will be interesting is, do people, when they don't see him line up in the Community Shield, then start to switch away from Foden? And do we see a rise in Haaland's ownership at that point? I think we probably will.
The other thing as well, I mean, make what you want of it. Is that what you're saying? But yeah. Haaland has scored 2 in 2. So far this summer, and there's the Julian Alvarez kind of issue a little bit, because one is with the Argentina team in the Olympics, so at some point after going straight there from the Copa America, he will need some holidays, so you're almost guaranteed that Julian Alvarez is not going to be with the City squad at the start of the season. So, and the other thing is, we're not even sure if he will be a Manchester City player, because there's a lot of rumors about him maybe wanted more game time and could leave the club. So City don't even have another number 9 that they can play instead of Haaland. So I think it'd be very risky not to start with Haaland, unless the guy who you select, which is always the same dilemma and discussion that we have. Okay, you can go without Haaland, but you have to make sure that whoever you get for him instead of him performs straight away, because Haaland is going to perform straight away. He's going to score 1-2 on the first few games of the season. So whoever you go instead of him, you have to make sure that they just are as good and perform as well as Haaland to make up those points that you won't have because you won't have Haaland. Otherwise, you're going to fall behind already straight at the start of the season.
I was also looking briefly at Jack Grealish, actually, because he's gone down to 6.5 million this season. He's got a real point to prove, and he's had a good preseason so far as well, hasn't he? And he'll be in there from the off. So I actually wonder if, Sam, when you talk about Foden and when people realise he's not playing in that Community Shield, all it could take is a good performance for Jack Grealish. Totally. And all of a sudden, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Being able to get a Man City midfielder with the potential and the output that we know Grealish can have in terms of particularly assists.
Yeah.
If he continues to have a good pre-season, we could well be looking at him, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? That pre-season is great because it shows us the players that are in form. And you know, Grealish made some comments about how upset he was by being left out of the England squad, and that kind of stuff is really motivating at times for players. So I don't know, I can see him having a good season off the back of that kind of disappointment. I think Madison made similar comments as well and has also been having a good pre-season with Spurs, so it will definitely open up opportunities. And I think it's going to be like that this year. Like we're going to be having conversations about, oh, I can't have Saka, can I have Odegaard or Havertz instead? I can't have Palmer, can I have Nkunku or maybe a Jackson instead? I can't have Son, can I have Johnson or Madison? Like all of these big teams with an expensive premium asset in, there are other players. And Haaland is exactly the same at City. You know, can you get a Foden? Yes, but can you save more and have a Grealish if he's going to start? Absolutely. Eventually, might you want Rodri in that position instead? Yes, maybe. There are options that you can go to that are cheaper. And I think as FPL managers, that's part of the skill of the game, isn't it? Is it's working out, well, who's going to be the regular starter? And can I save myself 6, 7, 8 million by having that player instead? And if you can, the difference that makes across the rest of the squad, because it's not, and we have to be careful because a lot of people will go, well, should I have Saka or should I have Havertz or should I have Haaland or should I have Grealish? But the conversation isn't, is Grealish a better pick than Haaland? It's, well, is Grealish plus the distribution of that extra budget better than Haaland and then the other players that I have alongside him? It's, you've got to see the whole thing as a, not a choice between a premium and a mid-price player, but the premium and the players you get alongside, and then the mid-price player, and then the upside players that you can have alongside. And it has to be that conversation that determines what you eventually do.
Grealish is 6.5 million and Doku is 6.5 as well. So they're really good prices for these players.
Really good shout. So, of course, to enable us to get the bigger players, we need the cheaper players like your Grealishes, your Dokus, but also the other enablers in each position, just because, as always, we're going to go miles over. By the way, someone tweeted, I don't know if you saw this, Jules, someone tweeted us saying, tell producer Jesse that if you want to keep talking, you should make the podcast longer. It's great to listen to you guys. I agree. And we tell him every single week, but he won't be told. He apparently knows more about podcasts than we do and knows how long they should be. Yeah, he's actually all right. We've kept him. This is his second season now. We've kept him on because he's all right. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So we try and keep it not too long because we want to fit into people's commutes and stuff. So today I'm determined to try and make this a better, more compact podcast. But like I said, we're going to be back every week. So there's plenty of time for us to talk about more. Just quickly on enablers, if we just go through each position, guys, and if you pick out your best enablers, maybe in that position, am I putting you on the spot too much there? Sam, you'll be good at this, I reckon.
Yeah, she's got like 100 million draft anyway with a lot of enablers in there. Yeah,
but I need her to narrow it down. That's why she might not be so good at it. So in terms of defence, I think we call the enablers your cheapest ones, your 4 and 4.5 million ones. Sam, who's the best pick?
I think if you want to go for a 4.0, then Barco, who Jules and I mentioned earlier, is a really nice option. There's Harbour Bellis as well, who scored for Southampton in pre-season. So I'm not saying he's going to do that every week, but he looks like a decent option as well. I think those are the two 4.0s that I like the most in the game. And then the 4.4s, the 4.5s.
I was like,
I wish they were 4.4.
There will be after game week one.
There will, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's the problem, isn't it? You've got to be careful with the 4.5s because there's loads of really, really good options and people are brutal in the early part of the season for just going, no, I'm not interested. This player's not done well and that player's got a goal and an assist and I'm going to go for them instead. So it's almost worth really paying careful attention to the ownership because, like, I really like Davis, but if he's looks like he's going to drop a lot or that, you know, because Ipswich's fixtures actually, apart from the opening couple of games, which are very difficult against Liverpool and Man City, they then have a really nice block of fixtures. I think he is a really good option. And then who you go for in the 4.5, I mean, there's a wealth of them. And we've spoken about a lot of them over the course of time, but the two 4.0s, I think, have incredible potential this season.
Have George? I mentioned Davies's stats from last season in the Championship?
How many did he get?
Watch 18 assists, 3 goals.
So glad you were watching.
No, it's okay.
What type of goals does he score, Jules? What type of goals are
there? So there was two from outside the box.
Shut up. That shows that he is like a complete blagger. You are pro-blagger. No. The fact that straight away you didn't even think. You just came back with the
line. I went and checked his highlight reel from this season. Anyway, so David, I agree with Sam Barco and Howard Bellis. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. I mean, Lenny Yoro was my pick. I won't lie. 4.5 million. Guaranteed starter, I think, for United. Did well in the game that he played. And then that injury, which we're not sure yet what the seriousness is, which is sad because I really hope it's not too serious because I think Yoro would have been great. And I think that United defense would be much stronger than last season. Even Onana, you could fancy. Even Lisandro, you could fancy. Mm-hmm. Even Luke Shaw, you could fancy too. So I'm a bit disappointed. So he's not in my team yet, Yoro, but he could well be instead of a Davis, for example.
Okay, midfielders. Would you say, Sam, this is between 4.5 to 6 is kind of your enabler?
Yeah, probably. In normal season, I would say so. This season, it might even be up to 5.5 because I think you're going to need the budget elsewhere, which means that you're... And I think actually for me, the way that the enablers are working this season, you really need one in the front eight. So you have to make a decision between, is that going to be in the midfield or is it going to be in the forward line? And there's great value in both of those positions. So it's quite difficult to work out where you put your cheap option. I mean, in the forward line, you've got a couple because you've obviously got the likes of Joao Pedro and Armstrong at Southampton who could be, you know, decent options depending upon Joao Pedro's rib situation by the time we get to game week one. In midfield, you've got some nice picks in the 4.5. You know, Kels, we've both got Harry Winks. I'm not expecting Harry Winks to do much apart from start every game. Did get a couple of goals in the championship last season.
But that's all you want, isn't it, really, from that position?
I don't need my... What's the key thing I need from my 4.5 attacking asset? I need them to regularly start so that if I need my third sub, because he'll be my third sub most weeks, I need him to be able to come off the bench and get some points. So I just need a regular starter for that team. Ideally, I want somebody that's not got too high ownership so that he's not going to drop in value, because that is the worst case scenario, that your enabler becomes 4.4, or worst case still with the defenders, 3.9, because then you've got nowhere to go with them. So Harry Winks is currently at like 10% ownership, just over 10% ownership. So he's going to take a while to drop in price, but he's regularly going to start. He got a couple of goals in the championship last season. There's the opportunity for the odd goal here and there, but he's not going to do anything spectacular, but he is super reliable in terms of the starts. So that's why I'll have him, because he's my third sub. Like, they just have to be.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
You don't have to put. And I think, you know, if you were bench boosting, if this was a wildcard team and we were leading into a bench boost the week after, wouldn't recommend Harry Winks at all. But I think with going into game week one, where it's just about getting the best 11 that you can and then making sure that the enablers work for you, then Winks, I think, offers that. Because unlike in the forward bracket where you can't get a starting player for 4.5, you do have that with the midfielders.
Mm. Yeah. Is that all right for you, Jules?
No. It makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And I think that's a really good point. I was going to say with Sam, you have to think what you need from that 4.5. Yeah. Sam and I'd say, I'm not planning on starting, no offense to Harry Winks, I'm not planning on starting him at all.
No. Well, you shouldn't anyway.
But... Unless there's some crazy double game week.
Yeah,
where,
no, I get that.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's what you want. You just want someone that could provide you a few points. Yeah, so it's just
true.
Working. Yeah. Jules, that's who do you think is the best midfield enablers?
So, I mean, again, the way I look at it, and it's good because it complements well what Sam was just saying, I'm trying to look at players who can actually bring you points, not more than just two for starting, because Harry Winks might score one goal if he's lucky and that's it in the season. Maybe one
Harry
or two
Winks.
Assists. I know I love Harry Winks, but it's just Harry Winks, right?
Legend.
So if you look at, again, Oscar Bob, 5 million. I can understand Bob is not going to be a guy. He's not going to start every game like Winks will. So I understand. I get that. But if you look at the 5.5 million, for example, where it gets really interesting, because you've got Adingra there, you've got Minte there, who is the new signing at Brighton, who's done really, really well in their preseason games. Mm. You've got someone like Hudson-Odoi, for example, or even Elanga at Forest, who are two wingers with a lot of pace, who will certainly create chances, be in a position to score, to assist, etc. You've got Kobbie Mainoo, whose ownership is almost 9% now because he's guaranteed to start. So I know he's 1 million more than the Winks, but I would much rather Mainoo in my team because he's guaranteed to start. And as we saw last season, he scores, he can score goals. He used to be a winger, so the guy is pretty good in the box technically and also in knowing what to do compared to another maybe defensive midfielder. Let me think, maybe like Harry Winks, who's got no idea what to do once he gets into the box. For Mainoo, it's different. So I know it's a million and it's a lot of money in the game, but I would much rather having Kobbie in my team than Harry.
But I think everyone would rather have
I'm sure.
But the point is that sometimes you just can't afford it. Like, I would rather have point, like at the moment with the team that I read out before, there's 0.5 in the bank, and that 0.5 is there to enable me to not have to go early. Like, I don't want to be making a transfer on Saturday night because everybody's going for somebody and they're going to go up in price and then I can't afford them. And that is the reality of what game weeks 1, 2, 3, up to 4 probably are like, that people move early on their transfers because they watch Manchester United play on the Friday evening and whoever it is performs really well and they suddenly decide, I must have them tonight. And so their price goes up. Now, by the time then Spurs eventually play Leicester on the Monday evening, there will have been multiple price changes that will have already happened. I want to put myself in a position where I can wait until we're recording this podcast on Thursday to make my decision about who I'm bringing in. And the only way to do that is to have money in the bank. So if that means that I have to have a Harry Winks instead of a Mainoo, that's where I'll go, because it's just a budget distribution thing that has to play a part in the strategy that I play with FPL. And I guess for me, that's why I like to look for somebody like Winks, who is never going to set the world on fire, but what he will do is be there when I need him.
Sam feels very passionately about this.
I like Harry Winks, yeah.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. We
started
why.
With an ex-Spurs player.
I mean, his fan club as well, apparently.
Okay, so it won't surprise you to hear if you listen to this podcast now, we're around 40 minutes. We try and keep this podcast at 45. So there's two more sections that we were going to talk about. We probably don't really have time to do. Differentials is something that we did throughout last season. We had great fun with it. Who won again, Sam?
Me!
Sam won, of course. Yeah. He thought about retorting.
No. He was going to complain.
I was beaten, yeah. So
yeah, yeah, you were beaten. For once, Julien Laurent was beaten, so he's keeping quiet. If only that happened more often. We're going to do that again this season. Differential is a reminder, if you're a new listener, of players who are owned but under 10% of managers. So these guys will give you one player every week who they think you should pick, and then we'll have a little competition. Is this the right time of year, Sam, to be looking at differentials, or do you just play it safe at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think you do want to have a couple of differential picks in there. So you want to have a couple of players that are slightly different in and around the 10 million or less, because they are the ones that give you huge rank gain. But also you have to be a bit cautious, because if you go without the heavy hitters, like at the moment, the two most popular players in the game are Palmer and Watkins. I have neither of them in my team. Mm. And that's a risk, because obviously they're the ones that could hurt the most in the opening weeks of the season. So if you're going to go for a very differential team, go into it with your eyes open, knowing maybe you need an early wild card, or maybe you need to just be differential across the price points so that you can move players in and out as you need to as they start performing well.
Okay, we'll talk about differentials a bit more on the next podcast as well, but also something that we will go into in more details was fixture runs. We spoke about it on the opening podcast a couple of weeks ago, that the rule changes mean that now you can roll up to 5 transfers for the season. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to see a change in strategy from a lot of people. We'll be saving the transfers up and using them wisely, and it will enable us to potentially all of a sudden, if you can see that Man City's fixtures or Liverpool's fixtures are going to get really, really nice. Well, they're a bit more fixture proof, so that's maybe not the best example. But if you can see a team's fixture run is about to get really nice, you can save those transfers up and really transform your team to make the most of them. And I think we'll see people maybe, I'm going to ask you about this as well, because I know Jules won't have looked this far in advance, Sam, but it feels like you can almost put the season into blocks, can't
yeah,
you?
That's what and, I did, yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay.
All the planning.
Already, yeah. Anyway, we'll let Sam answer this question, shall we? Because that's probably the only input you've got on it. I think we could see people kind of chunk off the season, Sam, do you think?
Yeah. So, I mean, generally speaking, let's not look too far ahead with fixtures. Like, look at them in chunks. So 6 game weeks at a time feels good, because a lot can change in terms of form for players and teams in 6-week period. But ideally, you'd look at like 5 or 6 game weeks, the teams that have got the best potential for returns in that period, and you go with them. But then if you do roll the fixture ticker out, and one of the beautiful things about the fixture ticker, when you see all
beautiful,
30, yeah. This is like, you know what this is like for me, Kelly, like stuff like this is like the dream. Like, I have the fixture ticker, I'll put it on my wall. But you can see the blocks change. So you can go, okay, Arsenal's fixtures, they're a little bit tough there because, you know, they've got these fixtures in them. But then from this week to this week, they're amazing. So like, when you look at them, you can go, there's like a 6 or 7 game week run for each team where they're just blue fixtures. And if you can target them and know, okay, well, I haven't, because this is kind of where I am with Arsenal. I'm looking at it going, I haven't got an Arsenal attacker, but this point I'm going to need one because there's a nice blue run of fixtures in there that I'm going to need to target. And so that's kind of how I choose to use the fixture ticket. You have to take the fixture ticker with a little bit of thought of how good the teams are, because obviously like the Arsenals, the Man Cities, teams like that, Liverpool, they've got difficult fixtures on the ticker, but they are fantastic teams and they could easily do really well in those game weeks. And like, for example, the North London Derby, which is going to come quite quickly into the season, turns the fixture ticker, not particularly nice for both Arsenal and Spurs, but we know there's goals in that game. So it wouldn't stop me investing in the attackers anyway. Maybe it is for the defenders. So just use the tickers to pick out little periods of time for each team and know that by the time I get there, I want to have invested. And if that means you save some transfers to do that, that would be a really good strategy.
Here's some homework for the listener then. You can go on fantasy.premierleague.com and take a look at the fixture ticker that Sam's been talking about. It's called the fixture difficulty rating, the FDR. You can check out which teams have good fixtures, and maybe that will help you make your decisions with your team over the coming weeks. We'll take a closer look in depth next week on the podcast at which teams do have nice fixtures as well, to hopefully help you. But this is where we're going to leave it. Just a couple of quick fire questions to end on, guys. I know my answers to both of these, having done this podcast now. Jules, which players have good fixtures to start the season that you haven't considered so far?
So, say that again.
Which players have good fixtures that are not to in start my team that you haven't considered? So maybe it's, I don't know, a Wolves, a Brentford. Is there a team that you just haven't even looked at so far that have good fixtures? What this isn't.
I mean, let me look at the fixtures, because obviously, like, this is July 31st. Like, I mean, the Olympic Games. I'm going swimming tonight again with Léon Marchand, legend, by the way.
You're not going swimming with him. You're going to watch.
I mean,
aren't you?
You know, yeah. I'm just gonna like shout.
All right, okay.
Do you want me to go first here?
You do that. So, Jules, I'll ask you a different question.
Just go solo.
Just go.
So
for me, it's Everton, because their fixtures are fantastic, but I don't know. I don't know how I'd invest in them.
You can get a defender.
But Kelly, defensively last season, apart from Branthwaite, and he was only really good because of the attacking potential that he had. Like, I'm not really sure where I'd go there. They're a team that I haven't really thought
They've got
about,
Spurs
probably.
And Villa in their first four games.
And that's why. But actually, when you look at the rest of the ticker, though, Jules, it's like they've got really nice fixtures in and around that. And again, if you're talking about a cheap player, which let's be honest, we are when we're talking about Everton, none of them are going to cost much money. They're benchable for those two games against Spurs and against Villa. And then you've got nice fixtures the rest of the way. And then there are other teams that I kind of think I've not, but like Manchester United, I haven't looked at all. And that's probably a bad thing, because realistically their season last year was poor and that's put me off investing. But the season before, I had the double up of Rashford and Bruno for pretty much the whole time. You know, they are a team that I've not considered owning anyone from yet, but probably need to consider heading into the opening game, depending upon what we see. I mean, we've got the Community Shield, so that's going to be a nice opportunity to watch them and make some last minute calls there.
Jules, don't worry, you don't have to answer that question. Maybe you can answer this one.
Yeah.
Which player don't you have currently that scares you the most?
Has to be Mo Salah.
Same here.
I don't know. He looked sharp in pre-season. Obviously, there was nothing this summer for him. New haircut too, if you haven't seen it. Maybe that will help. I don't know why, because he was still very good last season. Maybe not at his best, but still very good.
Yeah,
so he's the one I would love to have, to be honest.
Sam, anyone scaring you?
Watkins.
Havertz, you said Havertz.
And
well,
Havertz,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to have to leave it. I just got, producer Jesse is becoming famous. I just got a WhatsApp saying 50 minutes. I would show you it, but you're not going to see it. Even if you're watching on YouTube, the light won't mean it. 50 minutes with a clock emoji and the red warning emoji. So I'm going to do what I'm told and I'm going to end this podcast, because I said I'd keep it to 45. There's just so much to talk about. Guys, thank you. Jules, go and jump in that pool with...
Yes.
Tonight. Please don't do that. You get arrested if he jumps in.
Yeah, don't do that. Gosh.
Have you seen me swimming? I swim so well, man.
That's why we've gone on YouTube, purely so people can see your impression of swimming. In case you hadn't heard, we're now on YouTube. So if you've listened to this podcast, he's now doing backstroke. So do go on YouTube to see Jules. Do butterfly again?
Butterfly. Then it's all about the legs, like dolphins. And then
Right. On that note, guys, have a good week. Enjoy whatever you're getting up to, swimming, whatever. Sam, I hope let's just end this podcast here. Thanks, guys. We'll be back next week reviewing drafts, everything else, and we'll be hearing what other Olympic sport Jules will be getting involved in. Thanks for listening. See you later.